The Hendersonville Lightning is now on the streets and in your mailboxes. It's time to get behind the headlines with Bill Moss on this week's Lightning Thursday. Brought to you by BGW CPA, helping business owners achieve their vision through balance, growth, and wisdom. BGW CPA firm, North King Street in Hendersonville.
Bill Moss, it is your time of season, isn't it? It is.
Well, it is, or just past, if you will.
Is,
but there's always good follow-up
exactly.
And analysis like I suppose we can do today. But, call it what you want. A monkey in a monkey tree, a hog and slop.
Whatever it is, you're there.
That's where we are and have been over the last 4 to 6 weeks with some campaigns that were fairly robust, did have some races in some partisan races, which was somewhat rare, the number that we had, and some curiosity because there were so many contested seats as to the outcome. And then we had an election which, with high voter enthusiasm and high turnout, around 55-56%, I think it was. It was 30% before election day.
Yeah.
It was a third. We had already achieved a 30% turnout, which was a record for a midterm election. Then we had an election and an outcome.
And you really summed it up really beautifully off mic a moment ago. Can you tell us how you summed up the local elections here?
Yes, it was that the surprise was that there were no surprises.
Exactly.
And on the local ballot, I think it's safe to say you from starting at the bottom, from the school board all the way up to the United States Congress. You know, if you took a flyer on any of those and said, I think there's a hint of a glimmer of a chance of an upset, none of them happened or frankly came close to happening. There was no nail biters. There was a couple of early on in the Chuck Edwards, Norm Bossert race where some early returns showed Edwards in the lead, to be sure, but only like 52-48.
Right.
And there was some chin scratching at that time saying, maybe that's the one. A couple of others where Democratic nominees outraised and in some cases seemed to outwork or were, I'll just put it this way, were on the campaign trail much more consistently and for a much longer period of time going back to before the primary.
Yeah.
There were a couple of those races where he said, maybe that will make a dent in the Republican wall or in the reliable red sea or whatever you want to call it. But as we say, incumbents in the head over the umbrella story pretty much covered all of the races, certainly that were partisan, and that was incumbents cruise to reelection as blue wave fizzles in mountains.
And it really is interesting, too, because you and I were talking. This is the most organized and the most effort I've seen that I can remember from the Democrat Party. So that was interesting to see. And then also we talked about more early votes coming in. So certainly looked like if there was a chance for something, it looked like.
Well, exactly. The evidence on the ground.
Yes.
Before polls opened at 6:30 in the morning on Tuesday morning was exactly what you say, that, well, is the high voter turnout, maybe more younger voters, maybe more women, maybe more diversity in the electorate, is that going on? And then actually numbers showed, it looked to me like a strong Democratic turnout. You can look at not just the number of early voters, but who they were. By race, by party, by precinct. And so if you tried to draw clues from that, you would have said, yeah, maybe there's no, if not an earthquake, at least a tremor. But as I say, really, that didn't seem to move the needle. The Republicans, if they were ever away from home, came home by the end of the election day. The numbers, these aren't completely complete, but most of them were, by the time we updated the numbers on the front rail here with election results, that some of them were 100% and most of them were 80-85. And at that point, it was Meadows, 57.5%. points for the U.S. Congress, 11th Congressional District, of course, over Philip Price, who was one of those who because he had a Democratic primary, he's had the opportunity to go up and down, back and forth, east to west, north to south in the 11th Congressional District, 17 counties, been out there for 9 months, didn't matter much with that 40.6%. Edwards, as we talked about, ends up prevailing 55 to 45%. In the race that we've talked about here before with Sam Edney, not only working hard, but having came over on the Mayflower and one of the first to settle the whole county, Sam Edney, Democrat, Democrat of Brevard or Pisgah Forest, it really doesn't make a dent. He loses 56 to 44% to Cody Henson, who now goes into a second term. Chuck McGrady has got about the highest number of all in the legislative races at 59% to 41% over Gail Kemp, who raised a lot of money, worked hard, was out there quite a lot. Michael Edney wins a fifth term. You know, had those two terms in the early 1990s, and this makes his third straight here in the teens. Wins handily over another candidate that was out there a lot. Showed up at a lot of things like gun range opposition, Hendersonville High School events, any kind of Balfour Parkway protests. Showed up, was there. Kind of seemed to be trying to ride some of those issues, like, well, these are issues where people are not happy with the actions or proposed actions of the county commissions, and maybe she can absorb some of that. Again, but the evidence on election day was it didn't matter. She loses 59 to 41% to Edney. And then in the school board, some other really unsurprising results. If you were looking for an upset, or it really came out in about the order. If there was a mild surprise, it might have been nothing against, no offense against Amy Lynn Holt, who said herself she never expected to be the highest vote getter.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought that might be on this ballot. Dot Case was the Mary Louise Corn of the choices. Retired, very popular. Dot always a teacher. Mary Louise Corn, obviously a teacher, coach, and principal, beloved at West for a long, long time. Dot Case, beloved at North Henderson for a long, long time. And she was the Mary Louise Corn, in my view, of this election, or the Rick Wood also of West, and also well known by, you get well known by obviously the students that go through there, but you get well known in the whole community.
Yeah.
And so Amy Lynn Holt tops that outcome at 22.6%, followed by Jay Egoff at 20.1%, and then Dot Case does go in at 18.8% over Stacey Caskey at 16%. I would say from what I could tell on the ground, the three hardest workers by far showing up would have been Jay Egoff, Stacey Caskey, and Dot Case. They showed up at everything. Amy Lynn Holt, she worked, I'm sure, but she had the power of incumbency and the leadership on this whole Hendersonville High School
Absolutely.
Issue. And I interviewed her about that. I said, there was a speculation that maybe at the polls that would backfire because Hendersonville High School is one school district out of four. So maybe three quarters of voters say, well, not only do we not care what happens to Hendersonville High School, but we don't think the county has any business spending $70 million. They never spent that on our school. You're going back to the early 60s on some of those, or 1991 or 92 or so at North Henderson High School. But that's not the way it came out. I think there was more. I think people said, she finally exerted some leadership and said, look, y'all, the county commission, didn't work this out. Give us a shot. And from the looks of things at the moment, they're giving it a shot that just might work.
Yeah.
So I think she was more rewarded than anything else. And Should I say one more thing about the school board?
Yeah.
What that outcome gives you? Gives you a second Hendersonville High School graduate on the school board, along with Blair Craven. So, and Amy Lynn has, I think currently, I know she's had, she's a Bearcat parent, not a Bearcat graduate. So you got three people, not that they're necessarily going to vote exactly that way, but three people that know Hendersonville High School and do have reasons, whether they can say so directly or not, from not just their head but their heart, a connection to Hendersonville High School.
Sure.
That's three out of seven. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we touched a little bit off mic. Let's do that again. And you mentioned it a little while ago about the finances.
Right.
Who raised what? Because it was a bit surprising, some of the Democrats.
Well,
and the
that's
money
right.
That they raised.
If there was a surprise, it all happened before the votes were counted, you might say. Because, going back up and down the ballot here, the Hendersonville Lightning reported on HendersonvilleLightning.com, and you can read all the numbers in this week's print issue, the only place you can get this, that Pat Sheely did outraise Michael Edney. She raised $7,666, had a campaign organization, had a campaign manager. She was on television. I saw her on WLOS one night.
Yeah.
She was on your radio, on the air. She was in Hendersonville Lightning, and maybe some other print issues, print products as well. And so she raises, as I say, $7,600, almost $7,700, to Michael Edney's $2,003, including a $1,500 loan. So he didn't raise that much. I would say, as an asterisk there, if you're Michael Edney, what having Megan and her heart, you didn't have a lot with a heart transplant. You didn't have a lot of spare time,
right,
if
to go out
Edney
and do
family some, to go have fundraisers and even be on the ground campaigning. I think voters, if they were aware of that or made that connection, would be forgiving of anything, of how much energy he was able to or even willing to expend in the campaign. I wouldn't either. Most parents would. Everything else would immediately become secondary. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest, certainly the biggest, actually cash gap and a big surprise fundraising was the Sam Edney. Interestingly, he also has the Edney name, and I was curious about that. I said, well, does that just lift not just the name, but the fact there's two Edneys on the ballot? As you see them, you can't really tell the difference between a Sam Edney sign and a Michael Edney sign.
Right, just as Edney.
Everybody, well, Edney, that sounds good. Yeah, I know that name. Isn't there a town by that name? Edneyville. Oh, yeah. I'll vote for this Edney guy. But that didn't work. Sam Edney was from Valley Hill here in Henderson County, but then he moved to Brevard and had his pest control business all the time, I guess, since he was a young man there in Transylvania County. But he raises $136,618.
And I'll tell you, he worked hard. He came into my neighborhood twice, just knocking on doors.
They did door knocks.
Yeah.
That was impressive to me. It's the only door knock I saw.
Yeah, only one I saw, too.
Yeah, I was Flat Rock votes heavily. I live in Flat Rock. You do. Probably, if you're going to be on the ground to do a door knock, it's probably a good place to go because it's a heavily voted. It's a retirement community, mostly, and it's people are really engaged in Flat Rock and they do vote. And that was a door knock, and me too. Only one I saw. So he outraises Cody Henson, as I say, $136,000 to $32,000. And they each spent a fair amount of money there toward the end. Going on down the ballot, Chuck Edwards, who seemed to have kind of a slow start, he was fairly close to Norm Bossert early on, but he came on strong in the third quarter and raising a total of $186,000 to $64,000, which is not nothing.
Right.
It's not chicken feed.
Right.
$64,000 for Norm Bossert. And you and I talked about Norm Bossert. Articulate, strong campaigner, was another one of those guys. If it was Balfour, if it was a Saluda shooting range, if it was the Canoga widening, they were there, really just listening, talking to people, but they were there to see and to be seen. And I don't think people, the election would suggest people didn't associate their presence at those events with any it, with any help they could politically deliver after November 6th of 2018. It just seemed like the numbers stayed as the numbers often do here in the county. So we did have that, again, in the very large bucket of the no surprise category. Mark Meadows raised $927,000. And no, I'm sorry. He raised $1.6 million. He had $927,000 cash on hand at the end of the at the end of the October or the third quarter federal Federal Election Commission filing period, which is, has different dates from the state. At the end of September 30th, he did have that $927,000 cash on hand. But Philip Price did raise, again, a respectable $186,000, and he also showed $100,000 cash on hand. Now, being that in their case, that was September 30, they would have rolled through a lot of their cash, as they would have made their buys on television, newspapers, radio, or otherwise. They would have made those buys all through October.
Interesting. Interesting. Four Seasons Politics. It's always interesting, no matter what, even whether there are surprises or not. We're going to be back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. And after the break, we're going to talk greenways here in Henderson County.
So you hear me and Paige say this all the time. You need a family doctor, a family lawyer, a family jeweler. But for real peace of mind, you want a family mechanic. Ours is Rick and Terry and the boys at Car Stars on Spartanburg Highway. Not only do I trust them, but I know they're going to get the job done right today. They carefully explain what you may need, and they do it right the first time. If anyone asks me where to go for honest work done right, I say go where I go. Car Stars, from tires and brakes to inspections and oil changes. Go to Car Stars on Spartanburg Highway in Hendersonville.
Tempo Music Center reminds you that if you're playing in the band or orchestra this fall, no one beats Tempo for sales, rentals, service, method books, sheet music, and accessories. Don't wait, and don't buy your instrument on the internet. They can't touch Tempo's service. Buy local from Tempo Music Center on Main Street in Hendersonville. Tempo Music Center, Western North Carolina's largest independent music store.
Visit Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village and discover the fall 2018 collection. Select Peter Millar sports shirts and water repellent quilted vests. Choose merino wool, alpaca, and cashmere sweaters in v-necks, crewnecks, mocks, turtlenecks, and vests. Peruvian Pima cotton mocks from Scott Barber in the season's best colors are perfect for cool fall weather. At Joseph's, you're invited to try on these classic fall fashions in rich colors and luxurious fabrics. Stop by today and let Joseph or Chepa introduce you to the fall 2018 collection. Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village.
Hi, my name's Tim Batts. Let me show you how a reverse mortgage works to your benefit, whether it's to eliminate your current mortgage payment, create an additional income stream, or purchase a home. I will be your local reverse mortgage advisor, as I am with Retirement Funding Solutions, a Mutual of Omaha company. For more information, call me today, Tim Batts, at 828-674-0003. That's 828-674-0003.
Tim's NMLS number is 659013. Synergy One Incorporated. Doing business as Retirement Funding Solutions, NMLS ID 1025894, is an equal housing lender.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. The lightning is now on the streets and is in your mailboxes. Bill, let's talk about greenways. It's been said that Henderson County is a bit behind when it comes to greenways and greenway projects, even in Western North Carolina. But it looks like trying real hard to catch up. We've got a greenway plan now, and you've got the story here in the Lightning.
You pose a question exactly on point in one very big way. So we're talking about greenways. We've been talking about greenways, as we say here, since the 1990s. There was really a greenway commission or committee, a countywide panel called Apple Country Greenway. You might be familiar with. Even came up with a plan, lots of lines on the map. The county commission kind of got spooked by too many lines on the map, kind of spooked property owners, or they thought it did anyway, and they really pulled the plug and just abandoned Greenway, Apple Country Greenway plan about 2000. We had a timeline a few issues ago that showed that talked about that entire history. Well, we had a big greenway project about a year ago. This is kind of a new greenway project in reporting on the new greenway master plan. Now, it's easy to say greenway and plan and master plan and lines on a map. Why is this important? It is very significant in this way. Now, if Henderson County, which is in the process of doing this, if Henderson County, through its consultant and through its planning department and through its entire planning apparatus, identifies some lines, let's just say, because this is what's happening now, that it is the Ocklawaha Greenway Extension North and the Ocklawaha Greenway Extension South. We can talk about what that means more in a moment. If they then come and say, okay, let's settle on this route. Let's extend this one 3 miles and this one 4.5 miles. And then they go to the French Broad River MPO. They go to North Carolina Department of Transportation. They go to the Federal Highway Administration. And they say, reckon y'all gave us a big grant for extending the Ocklawaha Greenway. And they all come back and say in unison, y'all got a Greenway Master Plan? And then if the answer is yes, they're on the way. They're at the starting line. This does not mean that they've taken the kickoff and run it back for a touchdown. It means they get to play on the field. Basically, they get to play.
Yeah.
Whistle blows. Here's our Greenway Master Plan, and the ref says, "Okay, we'll have a coin flick. I'm going to blow the whistle, and we'll start the game, and you get to play on the field."
Wow. Wow. So that's very so again, the master plan itself is incredibly important. You've got a full map here and everything. So where do we stand?
Yeah. I started with the why, and we'll just work backwards to the what. So what is in the Greenway Master Plan? It's a really good. I've read a lot of plans. There's some boilerplate that has to be in there, but more specifics, more specific substantive recommendations, and actually, yes, lines on a map. Now, they will emphatically say we've not identified exactly somebody's yard or farm or anything like that, exactly where these would go. But they do identify roughly point to point. And if we just look at them, you've got the Ocklawaha Greenway North from Berkeley Mills Park to Westfelt Park there on the French Broad. You've got the Ocklawaha Extension South. First leg from Jackson Park, and these go on either side of the existing 3.5 mile Ocklawaha Greenway,
right,
which is our first, aside from actually about 10 miles or so of Greenway and Fletcher along Cane Creek and around Billmore Community Park. Those are our existing greenways, about 11 miles total. So going back to Jackson Park to somewhere around Blue Ridge Community College. But that's the first leg of the southern extension, and then Blue Ridge Community College to the park at Flat Rock. And then more as a vision of the village of Flat Rock from the park at Flat Rock to the Carl Sandburg Home National Historic Site. So this begins to put together a greenway network. We can go beyond. We can go to, you want to hear about the other ones that are overall as priority greenways that are in the plan. Ocklawaha and actually the status of that. Ocklawaha, I just mentioned this, Ocklawaha Greenway Extension feasibility studies. There's a contract with a planning consultant out of Asheville called Equinox is going to deliver that report, that feasibility study, probably by the end of the year. County commissions will probably talk about that. They almost surely will talk about that beginning in January, February through the spring when the county commission really talks about, because of tax revaluation, really talks about capital plans, big projects and small, policies, services, and like I said, capital plans, everything from schools to greenway trails to greenways, talks about that before they adopt a budget on June 30th, 2019. You can be sure they will talk about it. You can't be sure of the outcome yet. Mm-hmm. The Acusta Trail, well-known, been talked about probably more than before the Ocklawaha Greenway ever really got made, and has been talked about maybe longest and with a lot of intensity over a long time, goes on the railroad track from Hendersonville to Brevard, is really at this stage totally dependent on whether Watco would agree to make that a so-called rail-to-trail under the federal rail banking authorization. Mills River Valley Trail, it's really good to see in this column where it says plan status complete. And Acusta Trail also, plan status is complete. That's been done done under the auspices of the city of Hendersonville. So Mills River Valley Trail, town of Mills River, has authorized that and received a grant for planning and design of that from basically downtown Mills River at NC 280 and NC 191
yeah.
to the French Broad River. Edneyville Community Plan, much longer range, it identifies a greenway along Cane Creek, clear down to, I think, Edneyville Elementary School, or possibly even the Justice Academy. I forget the sort of the point B on that one. The park at Flat Rock master plan, that is in the big controversial
yep.
but now approved NCDOT project for Highland Lake Road improvement. It has a 10-foot paved greenway through the park at Flat Rock. So there's a little bitty segment that's already in the plans and funded, really. That's kind of a gift from the NCDOT. That's not a 20% match, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure about that part. But anyway, that's in the plan. It's funded. That one should be coming. Town of Fletcher also has a very ambitious greenway plan. An additional 6 miles are proposed in that. They've got what they call the Cane Creek Plan, they've got the Meritor Plan, and they've got a Hooper's Creek extension in the town of Fletcher. And then finally, Highway 191, multi-use path, that would be connect the NC 280 trail, and another multi-use path will be created near Rugby Middle School. Those are still much more long range, I think.
And then at some point in time, all these have to connect at at some juncture.
There's much written in the plan about connectivity. In fact, the very first bullet, when we describe here all the highlights of the plan, it's all about connectivity. Every mile of greenway, whether a straight point-to-point line like the Acusta Trail or a squiggly spur maybe going up to jump off rock, is part of an overall greenway network. Just as the Ocklawaha Greenway in Hendersonville connects five different parks, the proposed greenways countywide would connect parks such as Westfelt Park and the planned Kuntz Park on either side of the French Broad River with that pedestrian bicycle bridge we've talked about. It would connect parks, breweries, Sierra Nevada to New Belgium. We hadn't talked about that. Connectivity not just within Hendersonville to Laurel Park to Flat Rock to Mills River to Fletcher within Henderson County, but connectivity to City of Asheville,
yeah.
Buncombe County,
yeah.
even down to Marion. And so you would
yeah.
naturally say, well, when are you talking about? We talked about the why and the what. It's a 30-year plan. So as we say somewhere else in here, don't expect to hop on your bicycle or your scooter or push the baby stroller or walk all the way from Carl Sandburg home to New Belgium Brewing Company tomorrow. But let's go back to what we said at the beginning. A master plan is made.
Put you on the playing field.
They made the master. This committee worked really hard. We say who all was in it. It worked really hard. You can comment on it by going to hendersonCountyNC.gov, and it's very easy to see. It's right there on the homepage, and then you click on the master plan. You can read all 87 pages. You can look at maps. But like we said, there's a Greenway master plan. Now ye go forth and act upon it.
Sure. So 11 miles we have right now total in Greenway, and the total of all of this, when said and done, would be around 71 miles.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's 71 miles. And
that includes
and
the
Acusta
Trail?
And you're going to say, well, what kind of reporter are you if you're not going to tell me how much it's going to cost? Roughly armchair estimates, this is going to sound very precise, but about $1 million a mile, let's say. So that's $71 million.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But let's drill down a little bit more on that. There is generally available, and this is not pie in the sky or fictional, this is the way it is for the state of North Carolina and the federal government when it comes to greenway funding. You know, a lot of roads are, most of our roads are 100% paid for by state or federal funding.
Uh-huh.
Greenways are not, but they're 80% paid for. by state or federal funding. So $70 million becomes your invoice is then $14 million. Henderson County, Village of Flat Rock, Mills River, City of Hendersonville, Fletcher, Laurel Park,
and
possibly some private donations and some corporations or some agencies. So then it becomes much more doable. If you're talking $14 million, that's half a school
and a very worthwhile investment.
And a good investment in health, in recreation, in tourism, in quality of life generally. Uh-huh. That is the Greenway. Call it spin if you want, but it's the master plan. It certainly has the imprimatur of Henderson County at this point, because Henderson County ordered up the study. They've got the study, so it's going to be fun. It'll be really fun to watch. I'm pleased for the Greenway folks that they've reached this point.
Yep, absolutely.
As I say, the starting line, but you know, you got to get in the starting line to run the race.
Exactly, he's got to start somewhere. Bill, we've barely touched on it again. A lot in the Hendersonville Lightning this week. It's on the streets. It's in your mailboxes. How can people get a copy of theirs?
By going, not via Greenway yet, but I suppose in a car or walking on a sidewalk, to any of the 60 Lightning Orange racks all around Henderson County, or by visiting any of our dealer partners, such as convenience stores, coffee shops, and in the very hot selling location of the brand new Publix there on Greenville Highway and White Street, or going to HendersonvilleLightning.com. and clicking on that red tab, which will walk you through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, via United States Mail, or call Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.